Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Edmonton. Voluntary Witness Statement Number 1. I, Nathan Years, on this date, February 9th, 2013, am giving this statement to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in the Edmonton Branch, Division 12. If you need more room, do not write on the back of this sheet. Start a new page. I have read this voluntary witness statement consisting of 2 pages, each of which bears my signature, and I do affirm that all of the facts and statements contained herein are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. Nathan Years, date of birth, October 26, 1983. Voluntary witness statement of events. I worked in the baggage area of YEG International. At around 6 p.m., the girl the police are looking for, Henrietta Cohen, ran up to the baggage claim area and asked to get her bag back, stating she was unable to take her flight. The girl seemed pale and tired and had recently been crying. When passengers first register and are given their boarding passes, they are also required to check their stowed luggage with us, as it goes through a strictly regulated security screening and loading process. The baggage cart for Flight 4922 to Vancouver was just about to leave the terminal to load all security processed baggage onto the plane, but I managed to stall them for a moment and grab the bag corresponding with Henrietta Cohen's boarding pass. The bag seemed light, like she hadn't packed a lot, which is surprising because my girlfriend packs everything, even for just a weekend. She thanked me politely before leaving to go outside. Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Edmonton. Voluntary Witness Statement Number 2. I, Annie Whiskey Jack, on this February 10th, 2013, am giving this statement to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in the Edmonton Branch, Division 12. If you need more room, do not write on the back of this sheet. Start a new page. I have read this voluntary witness statement consisting of 1 page, each of which bears my signature, and I do affirm that all the facts and statements contained herein are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. Annie Whiskey Jack, January 14, 1991. Voluntary witness statement of events. I was at the airport returning from my vacation. I saw this girl around my age, maybe younger, come out dragging her rolling bag. She was texting someone on her phone and looked kind of upset, like she was mad but kind of depressed too. She came over and asked me if I had the time. Her phone rang and whomever it was didn't sound very happy. She was close enough that I could hear the guy's voice. She said, "No, don't do that. Please don't. Stop trying to make a big deal out of this. It's not going to work." At one point, she said really loudly, "I wish I had never known you. I would never do something like this to you or to anyone I care about." I asked if she needed any help, and she said she needed a ride back to the city. I told her she could hitch a ride with my aunt and I. The girl smiled and introduced herself as Edda and apologized if she was rude. Before we drove away, I saw Edda's bag on the sidewalk and said, "Hey, what about your bag?" She just sighed and said, "I don't need any of that stuff. Let it be someone else's problem." We dropped Edda at South Edmonton Common, right by the bus station, at 6:45 p.m. She walked into the crowd of people at the bus station and was gone. Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Edmonton. Voluntary Witness Statement Number 3. I, Fleur Cohen, on this date, February 9th, 2013, am giving this statement to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in the Edmonton Branch, Division 12. If you need more room, do not write on the back of this sheet. Start a new page. I have read this voluntary witness statement consisting of 2 pages, each of which bears my signature, and I do affirm that all of the facts and statements contained herein are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. Fleur Cohen, October 19th, 1961, date of birth. Voluntary witness statement of events. Henrietta's second eldest sister is getting married soon, so we are going to Vancouver to get what we needed, although obviously that's changed now. We may have to postpone the wedding, even though we've already paid for many of the arrangements. Henrietta, was at work that morning, which was rather inconvenient. Edda's the baby of 3 girls, and though she's sweet and smart, she's also the most difficult child sometimes. She wouldn't take the day off to get ready for the trip. She worked the night before, too. Honestly, I don't know how she functions on so little sleep. I don't know why she needs two jobs. If she'd gone to college or university after high school, like her sisters, she wouldn't need to pay rent for her dumpy apartment. Anyway, when she arrived around 1 p.m., she was tired, but in good spirits. Well, as good as they could be after chasing bratty kids all morning. She had her luggage for the trip, and I went through it to make sure she'd packed everything correctly. I noticed she hadn't packed a single dress for evening dinners on the town. When I brought it up, we had an argument. She complains constantly that I treat her like a child. She forgets that she is my daughter, single, with a highly questionable future, now that she's tossed aside schooling, for gosh sakes. I have to protect her from making foolish mistakes. If she wants to be treated as an adult, she has to start acting like one and figure out her future. Get a job, get married, and buy a house, just like I did. Yet, she can't even pack a dress to wear to dinner. Anyway, I made her favorite sandwich and soup for lunch and gave her a big hug. There really is no better medicine than a mother's love. It seemed to do the trick because she lightened up and even smiled a bit. A conversation on her cell phone was making her laugh while she was eating. It was nice to see her happy. She's so pretty when she smiles. The truth is, I think she's jealous of her sisters. My oldest daughter, Mary, married a young doctor. He's quite a catch. And they already have a second little one on the way. Etta loves kids, so I think she's upset that at 20 years old she doesn't even have a boyfriend. My second eldest daughter, Priscilla, is also getting married in less than 3 months. I hope Etta doesn't miss her own sister's wedding. Her disappearance is already going to put quite a damper on things. After lunch, I asked her about Grant Buck, whom I suspect is in love with her. I had suggested she invite him because he's lovely and they're good friends. He is getting into law enforcement and would be a good husband. He's very righteous, and my little Etta needs that kind of moral guidance in her life. Well, anyway, that put her in a bad mood again. I know she likes Grant, but he must be giving up on her. He's lavished her with attention for the last 6 months, but Etta keeps him in the friend zone. We've arranged dinners between Grant's family and ours, but Etta is always very reserved. Grant and Etta have been friends since they were 9 years old, though. His family lives right across the street, for gosh sakes. Pat came home at 3 from work. He is a surgeon at Misericordia. So we could finally leave for the airport, me, Pat, Priscilla, and Etta. At a Starbucks, we had a coffee and talked plans. Priscilla wanted to hit as many dress shops as possible. Me too. She needs to look great on her wedding day. Only 3 months left, and we haven't found a dress yet. Etta wanted to go to the seashore and Stanley Park Aquarium. She's big into photography. But that was it. She never has any money anyway. Pat offered to go with her and made her smile. Etta never gets angry at Pat. He spoils her rotten, though. So why would she? Definitely a daddy's girl. It's probably why she's so irresponsible and selfish, not like me. How could she disappear like this? It's probably just a big temper tantrum to wreck her sister's wedding. On the way to the airport, Etta texted on her phone a lot, but still seemed excited about the trip. I imagine she was texting Parma, but who really knows? FYI, that Parma girl is not a good influence on Etta. Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Edmonton, voluntary witness statement number 3. I, Pat Cohen, on this day, am giving this statement to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in the Edmonton branch, Division 12. If you need more room, do not write on the back of this sheet. Start a new page. I read this voluntary witness statement consisting of 2 pages, each of which bears my signature, and I do affirm that all the facts and the statements contained herein are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. Signed by Pat Cohen. Date of birth, December 10, 1959. Voluntary witness statement of events. I'm going to try and recollect all of this the best I can. It's been a very difficult time for me. I'm very fond of all 3 of my girls, but Etta is the special one, I'll admit it, and not just because she's the baby. I'm scared to think about what's happened to her, that there's nothing I can do but wait to hear something. I will say, of the three girls, Etta is the strongest. My other girls, Priscilla and Mary, are wonderful, but they are definitely more like their mother and very sheltered. Etta is my little carbon copy, though, outspoken, independent, and stubborn through and through. On the day she went missing, I could tell in the car that her mother had been on her case, probably all morning. She has a special wrinkle in her brow solely from the amount of times Fleur irritates her. I love Fleur, don't get me wrong, but she is not good at anything as far as Etta goes. She doesn't realize the energy she wastes trying to keep Etta under her thumb. It'd be sad if it wasn't so funny to watch sometimes. I've spent the kid's whole life running interference between them. It's no wonder Fleur gets angry and jealous about Etta not bonding with her. But you didn't hear that. You didn't hear me say that. My relationship with my wife is that of a peaceful coexistence, provided I bring home the money and don't pick fights. Not healthy, I'm sure, but after 25 years, it's not necessarily about love anymore. Etz was on her phone a lot in the car. This is usually code for, I'm tuning out Mom. Half the time, Etta and I talk. We talk digitally, on Facebook or by text. We keep each other updated throughout the day. I'm fortunate because Etta tells me more than she tells her mother, but I always thought at least one parent needs to have a good relationship with her. But this, I never saw this coming. I don't know what happened, so maybe our relationship was not as good as I thought. Someone should really talk to Parma Pinder, Etta's best friend. At the airport, we checked our baggage, so I went to grab Etta's bag. I remember she giggled and said I should help Priscilla and Mom instead, so they didn't break a nail or something equally disastrous. In hindsight, I think she didn't want me to know she packed very little. One thing is for sure, her camera is with her. She wouldn't go anywhere without it. Walking to security, I teased her about Grant Bucks. This is a running joke. She's not interested in that boy, and I can't say I blame her. He and his family are about as interesting as pencil erasers. I have growing concerns about Grant. He's in love with Etz, even though she's rejected him many times, and he still doesn't seem to get it. Etta tries to be patient. She doesn't want to lose the friendship. When I mentioned Grant, she looked very sad. She asked me if I could get Grant to back off with his romantic interest, and I said yes, which seemed to calm her. Then Fleur flustered the poor kid going through security. Priscilla, my little spender, took my attention, talking about money to buy her dress, and when I realized Etz had fallen behind, I was practically on the plane. I texted her from my phone, and she texted back at 5:45 p.m. All it said was, I love you, Dad. Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Edmonton, Voluntary Witness Statement Number 5. I, Priscilla Cohen, on this date, February 9, 2013, am giving this statement to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in the Edmonton Branch, Division 12. If you need more room, do not write on the back of this sheet. Start a new page. I have read this voluntary witness statement, consisting of 2 pages, each of which bears my signature, and I do affirm that all of the facts and statements contained herein are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. Name, Priscilla Cohen. Date of birth, December 10, 1991. Voluntary witness statement of events. I'm Priscilla Cohen, Pris for short. I feel like I should point out that Henrietta and my mother argue constantly. I think it's possible that Henrietta might have run away to get back at her, or to get back at me, because she's upset about her own life. If I had her life, I'd be upset too. Some of the stories she told me about being a waitress at the Bauhaus are terrible. I couldn't stand that. Loud rock concerts and crazy people. On the day Henrietta disappeared, I was really looking forward to getting my dress. That's it. I love Etta, and we were close enough as siblings, but I can't believe she'd do this. I'm running out of time to get all this wedding stuff together, and I don't need to be worrying about where she is. What if she's dead? It's horrible to imagine what could happen to her out there by herself. Who knows what's going to happen to her? Personally, I think something awful has happened, simply because she's too boring to do something exciting. All she ever does is work or take pictures. It's kind of a drag. I'm surprised she has any kind of a social life, but Parma seems to keep her somewhat straightened out and normal. Now, if she could only get a clue about Grant Buck. He is sincerely sweet, and he's so worried about her. He's constantly coming to me or Mom for advice on how to get on Etta's good side, but so far it's done no good. She could do far worse than a guy like Grant Buck. He's incredibly thoughtful. I don't know why she's so picky. When Etta got to the house, I remember that she ran up to her old room straight away with her bag. I walked up behind her and got there just in time to see her jamming a large envelope into her bag. It looked vaguely familiar, and I remembered that it had come in the mail a few days ago. The only problem was, it was addressed to Etta with no return address on it. It had been the daily mystery for Mom, but Dad had taken it out of the way of her prying eyes, stashing it somewhere for Etta. I'm surprised Mom didn't open it, and I doubt she'd do that again after the lecture about legalities Dad gave her the last time. Etta has always stood up to Mom. Growing up, privacy this, privacy that, don't read my diary, blah, 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 like her life is so important and exciting. I've long given up on that stuff. Mom's heart is in the right place, so whatever. It's too exhausting to fight her when all she's doing is fighting for her right to care, no matter how obnoxious it gets sometimes. I asked Etta what the mail was. She looked really guilty about something, but smiled just the briefest little happy smile. It's good news, she said, but let's go get the suitcase inspection over with. Mom, okay? For the rest of the afternoon, Mom and I talked wedding plans, and Etta and Mom had a little skirmish about Grant Buck. Sometimes I wonder if Mom likes getting Etta angry. She's relentlessly nagging her about something. That said, Etta should just listen to Mom just once. Mom is right about a lot of things. Etta should be in school. She shouldn't be working two terrible jobs and living in an apartment with a back alley as her front yard. Dodgy. She doesn't even have a boyfriend to keep her safe or anything in that neighborhood. My oldest sister Mary lived at home until she got married, and I'm doing the same thing. The fact that Etta hasn't grown up to be like Mary and me is mortifying Mom. I think it's kind of hilarious sometimes, and I'm even a bit envious of Etta's freedom, I'll admit it. But freedom seems to bring a lot of secrets and getting into trouble, and that worries me. I don't like the feeling of taking risks, neither does Mom. Mom actually thinks that Parma is a bad influence on Etta because of this very thing. That Parma Pinder, Mom will say, she is such a bad influence. She's been saying this about Parma for over 10 years, though, and hasn't done anything about it. I think she knows she'd be crossing a line by telling Etta not to be friends with Parma. The funny thing is that Parma still lives at home with her folks, and Parma is going to college to be a nurse. She's the total opposite of bad influence. Mom just doesn't get it. So what if she changes her haircut every month? So what if she's got nose piercing? So what if she's loud and hilarious? Parma is a miniature shining sun. Despite Mom's best efforts to be disapproving, Parma can always make her smile when she visits. You probably know the rest from seeing my mom's and dad's statements, but there was nothing else really unusual that happened. Nothing out of the ordinary that I saw, anyway. I know she trusts Dad and Parma the most out of anyone, but look where that's gotten the two of them. Dad is incredibly hurt and worried about her right now. I can only imagine that Parma is devastated. They were inseparable.